This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing this hour. It's Shogun. Are you there?
Good morning, Sickos. This is Shogun.
All right, man. Had Robert the first hour. I guess I've got you the next two. So here we go. All right, let's go back to Captain Jeff Naylor, old Nalem, see what we can strike up now this next segment. All right, Jeff, we're back, buddy.
All right. So, yeah, we were talking about motors and you know, the new stuff that came out. But, you know, I got to admit, and I love my Hondas. You know, I know you got a Honda.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Computer kicked in. We had that happen yesterday. All right.
Okay.
It is Mother's Day.
It is, man. The wind's blowing hard, too. I don't know if the radio knows that, but, yeah, it's blowing hard. But, anyways, and I love my Hondas. They're great motors. And I'm going to tell you, and I try not to get on a tangent or anything like that, but I am a little bit. So, you know, I got 2020 motors. I had before that some different motors, but the new styles, they got those ISTs that came out. I guess they're fairly new to Honda overall. And, you know, so when I get them, I'm a mechanical guy. So I tear mine apart. I do all the maintenance. I try to do everything I possibly can on them, you know, on all my motors. Doesn't matter what flavor they are. But, and, you know, I would always mention things to manufacturers or dealers or whatever. Hey, look, this hose is a little it's not riding well. It's probably a bad placement. Just random stuff like that, you know, things that I maybe fix or tweak or something like that on the motor just to make it all run right. And very rarely do I ever get any kind of feedback on that or any kind of changes. Anybody even notice that? But on Honda, you know, it seems like everything I've told them so far, and they're just minor things, but everything I've told them so far, they'll send, you know, Fernando call me up, hey, I got the new part. And I'm like, what, Fernando? What are you talking about? That new part. Remember the hose, you know, or whatever. And you know what? That is incredible, you know. And I tell you what, it's hard to beat, you know, a manufacturer that's going to be able to, you know, do something like that for you. And a little right. Old me, you know, out here. And I thought that was really, really neat. Last year has just been really, really neat with Honda and those guys got a long way to go and are going to do some great things, you know. And like I said, they got some new motors coming out too, which are supposed to be revolutionary. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, they've, they've been making four-stroke engines. They were the first ones to ever do it, four-stroke outboards, and they've been doing them well over 50 years now, probably 53 years now. Honda's been making four-stroke outboards.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's incredible. It has been. And,
they put out good products, you know, from, you know, their little little handheld generators that you can carry around all the way up to, you know, their engines, you know, outboard engines and vehicles, and they just, you know, they're a great company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Quality stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the sales guy, when I first started messing with him, asked me, well, tell me a bad Honda product. You know, I can't think of one. I mean, no. I don't know. You know, I've never found one. So, so they're really, really nice, and we're excited to have them. And I hope that this motor shortage, doesn't hurt anybody in the industry anyways. But, man, I mean, that's the new reality. So we'll see how that works out. You know, I talked to you guys last week about, I know we've been talking about the bluefin tuna, you know, catch, which I did catch four out of Louisiana a couple weeks ago. And it closed down officially on Tuesday. So,
right, I heard that.
No more bluefin tuna, which is sad. Another year gone, didn't get a chance to get one, but, you know, that's okay. We'll be at them again next year. For those who did get them, I mean, I tell you, I'm jealous. A lot of them caught down south. This is the second year in a row where we have, I think, five caught out of Texas last year. We had two caught out of Texas this year and four out of Louisiana, which means they're making it further down here than normal, you know. So that's good. That's a hopeful sign for the future of our, tuna industry, our bluefin fishing here in Texas. So kind of excited to see that. Snapper's right around the corner here, and whoever's gearing up for that is gonna have a great year. More and more we're going out just fishing in some of even the shallower spots. It's just loaded with snapper. I think it's gonna be a dynamite year this year. So,
I'm hoping
that June 1st.
We get it to lay down so we can see it firsthand. You know, that's the deal. Gosh.
I tell you, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like I said, this is the longest stretch that we've ever been without a trip, you know. And, heck, I did a couple bay trips the other day, and I'm very rarely do that. So, you know, you're right. We need some good flat days. Hopefully we'll have some coming up, but who knows. I really hope the end of AJ. I'm pretty stacked up for AJ, the end of AJ season here. And that's, you know, for a charter guy, that early AJ season when they give it to us is a great one to get these first handful of charters, pay off some big bills right before snapper season starts, which is, you know, you almost count on it sometimes. And, man. That wind does need to slow down a little bit.
Sure does. Really does. Yeah, I've noticed we have all the Mako sharks are along the Gulf Coast right now. I'm looking at Osearch, and all the great whites, they're all along the East Coast, you know, from Florida up.
Oh, wow.
And all the tigers are down, you know, South America way below Cuba and all that. It's pretty cool the way. The ones that they have tagged. I'm not saying all of them are down there, but the ones that they've tagged. That's pretty cool.
Right. You know, that is odd. That is strange, you know, how they come. I mean, shoot, I want to say that they were pinging great whites almost in the Texas waters. Heck, I know.
They were.
Somebody told me they were.
Yeah, there was one out from Galveston and one out of straight out from Louisiana there out of the Mississippi. And now they're all over on the East Coast, Florida, moving back up northward, you know, towards the northeast up there, Nova Scotia area.
Holy God. They say they migrate with the bluefin tuna.
They do.
Schools and all that. That's insane. That's wild. And, you know, that was the coolest thing I think I've heard all year is when Plog was talking about how that but the biologist was down there taking samples and all that, was telling him that fish was 1,200 pounds when it was on the East Coast.
Guarantee you, it was over a grand. That's how much weight they lose making their way, you know, and then
sure.
That's pretty cool. That's a lot of water to cover right there. That's a swimming machine.
You ain't kidding. That is a long way. Man, nature is awesome, I tell you, man.
Isn't that amazing? Out of all the bluefins caught this year and then flogging them, bust that big boy. That's a fish of a lifetime. That's two of them for him.
It sure is.
That boy's living, man, right?
I'm telling you, man. I mean, golly. Man, those guys are doing it right. There's no doubt about that, you know. And, you know, I always hear you talk about that all the time. I mean, I know they come from a bloodline. So, yeah, there's a handful of people that have actually ever caught one. I mean, I guess some of the Marlin guys, a lot of the Marlin guys probably got one too. But, man, I tell you, they're few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it don't matter how big it is. That's a trophy, you know. So, I remember the ones that were caught over in Louisiana, only one of them was, I believe what they said was one of them was in the Louisiana Billfish Classic or whatever Billfish tournament was going on. Mm. And I don't think it was weight. I think it was good for like a side pot or something like that, but really didn't have any value in terms of the tournament. And the other three were definitely not what they said. And, but shoot, man, a friend of mine talked to Robert Nichols after he came back from over there, and he said that they were just marking them like crazy underneath the boat. He said there were just piles of them.
Wow.
It must have been a big old huge school, yeah, going through. I mean, why can't I be that lucky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. But, yeah, that one day here real soon, I'm sure. So, got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, it'll turn around. I just hope maybe it's all for a good cause, and then when snapper season rolls around, it'll be calm every day. Everybody can get out in the Gulf.
Man, that I feel like we should be getting that, because that's, terrible.
Well, we got to quit getting these systems, you know, low pressures from the west and these fronts from the north. We got to get all that stopped moving down and causing all these wind events. Had enough. It's time to move on.
It is time to move on, man.
We fight it every year. Seems like this year it's been worse for some reason, but we'll get through it. If we all don't starve to death before we get there, but. Life of a gad, man. All right.
That's it.
Well, Naylor, if somebody wants to come to Freeport when it stops blowing and you can start running every day, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, man. Give me a holler anytime at 979-417-1013. You can go to our website, stslaventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures. And there's a booking calendar on the website. We have some dates still open in July and some in August and September. And everybody always asks me, you know, is August 1st booked? And it is. And that's a special day because it's Snapper and AJ overlap. But August 2nd is also another day that's us overlap. So I'm booked for both of those days. I'm telling all the people out there that I am booked, but call and find somebody else. I'm sure there's one or two that still have it open. So
sure.
But yeah, I appreciate it, Captain Mick, and of course, man, you guys rock all the time, and have another great Sunday.
We're gonna do it, buddy. Well, you take care, Jeff. Always a pleasure talking to you, and we'll be talking to you next week. Take care, my friend.
Hi, brother.
All right, see ya. All right, that's Jeff Naylor, Captain Jeff Naylor, out of Freeport. It's time for a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 517 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Port O'Connor way now. Let's check in with Captain Lynn Smith. Hey, Lynn, what's up?
Oh, man, the wind. The wind
is
up.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
Boy, I'll tell
you better
what.
Than ask that.
Boy, it's been a tough week for me. I'll tell you what, I hate it when the winds blow out of the north one day and the south the next.
I know it. It's back
incredible.
And forth. Yeah, it is.
It's incredible, isn't it?
I'll tell
in you
May.
What, man. I was scouting for a trip I had for Friday, and man, I tell you what, I had a trip for Saturday, rather, and so Friday I was around the pass, and I was coming by the pass. I looked out in that gulf, and I'll tell you what, it looked like you had water right at the pass. It looked like you were out 30 miles. It was blue in the pass. I couldn't believe it.
Awesome.
That was the prettiest water I've seen in a long time.
Man,
that water was pretty. Unbelievable.
Bring it in.
Bring it on. Come on. Yeah, it was pretty. But no, it's been kind of tough for me throwing lures. I'll tell you what, it's been slow. Those little fish were kind of turned off on me. And
yeah.
I know I was in fish. I was in fish. You know, it's kind of this time of the year, and it happens every year, they turned off on you on hardware and they won't bait. But I was wading in fish. I know good and well, and I had shrimp jumping all around me.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's frustrating, you know?
Yeah, it is.
It is frustrating.
You know, Charlie was telling me, you know, right there next door in Matagorda, that's what everybody's doing right now. They're throwing shrimp in a cork.
Yep.
What they're having to do to catch their fish right now. Lure fishing is a little tough for them, too.
That's exactly right. That's the same thing here. You know, that's what you got to be doing. You got to be throwing shrimp with a popping guard. And that's what they're wanting. And because that's what's coming in. You know, that's what's coming into the bays. And, boy, you see little shrimp jumping all around you. And the birds are diving. And, you know, pelicans and seagulls working them. And, man, that's what they're wanting. But the water's pretty. Man, that water's beautiful coming into the bays. But anyway, it was great. I fished every direction. I fished north. I fished south. I ran up north toward Matagorda, and that water was nasty looking coming in. You know that runoff.
Yeah.
You can tell the river's running.
Yeah, it is.
That river run coming down, but down here the water's pretty. We definitely had that pretty water here, but we didn't have that problem.
Yeah, up my way. Yeah. It's I'm experiencing two rivers doing all that, bringing that nasty water down. But maybe it's just a little surge for now, and it'll be better for the summer. Get it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It'll clean up quick. It wasn't anything major, just enough to set you back a little bit. You know how it works.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. But usually I like the little runoff because it pushes a lot of fish right down here to us. You know, the fish that run up the rivers, pushes them right back down here to us. And I've experienced that during some of these tournaments. You know, some of these guys, they can't believe it. They don't have to run very far. We're catching them right here. I've been on some really big trout sometimes when they're right here. We don't have to go very far. After a big rain, you know, those fish are
right
by the pass, not here by the pass. So that works good for me. But anyway, I think we're just around the corner, man. It's fixing to happen pretty quick. Because looking at that blue water right there at the pass, I went, oh, my goodness, look at this. I thought I was offshore 30 miles out, you know.
And that's something.
Oh,
it's pretty when see that. Golly.
Oh, it was pretty. Yeah. And it was pretty. But anyway, I've got a few days off, and I need to do a 100-hour check on my motor. I'm going to try to get that done here in a couple of days. Get that done, and I'll be set to go. And get my motor tuned up and ready to go. Sit back and go. But I fished like 4 days straight this week, and was kind of trying to get a little rest.
I'm telling you.
So, yeah, I was waiting 4 days in a row, and I was working pretty hard trying to find some fish for these guys, and I was throwing top waters and everything else, fighting that northeast wind. That northeast wind was brutal, man.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. Good for some areas. We've got some pretty good spots up here, you know, for a northeast wind, but, you know, the water's got to be right, and our water's a little off in those areas where you can get out of that. And makes it tough.
Well, I got back in some of the lakes, and, you know, some of the lakes, the water was decent. I mean, it was fishable. You had about a 1 foot visibility on it, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of bait, and the only thing I could pick up fish on were, like, soft tines. You know, caught some fish on soft tines, but that was about it. Never got a blow up on topwater, not one. And saw some activity, you know, and had some bait that was nervous, and I know fish were in there. There wasn't any doubt about that. Some of these areas that we fished were good areas in the past, and I know the fish were in there chasing that bait. Bait was nervous. Now, there was fish there. But
when you see shrimp jumping and stuff, mullet flying out of the water, there's something making them do that. They don't do that for fun.
No, exactly. And then you see porpoise moving, and then the porpoise are tearing them up, you know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. You know, the porpoise are in there after them, too, you know. So it's happening. It's happening.
The food chain.
But anyway, the food chain. But not seeing the gray fellows with the sharp teeth. Haven't seen those as yet.
Well, that's a good thing.
That is a real good thing. Yeah. But other than that, I'm ready to get out there and get after them. I had one guy a few days ago. He was waiting wet with me, and I said, "You're going to wade wet?" I mean, it was chilly that day, and that northeast wind was blowing. He said, "Oh, yeah, I've been wading wet the last few days." I went, "Okay." I said, "I don't wade wet till after Memorial Day." He said, "I've been wading wet." I'm like, "Okay." Well, we got out of the boat, and he didn't wade but about 30 feet from the boat, and he just stood there. And, man, I tell you what, I know he was cold, but he wouldn't admit it.
Especially when you have to get out of the water.
Uh-huh. The water was warm compared to that air.
Well, you get out and that wind blowing, and, yeah, it's –
Oh, yeah.
I used to do it when I was young. I can't take that cold anymore.
No. Mm-mm. No, sir. Yeah, we ran about three or four different areas in different spots. And I know he was chilly, but he wouldn't admit it. Oh, man. I said, "No, sir. I'll bring these waders to Memorial Day or past Memorial Day. Depends on these fronts, you know."
Yeah, the way this year is going, you never know. Well, these fronts coming in May, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is, man. It is. And I'll wear that wading jacket. I don't care how hot it is. I don't want to take those waves over my back, over my waders.
Yeah, get them over your back and your shoulders and your chest and everything. That chills you really down, you know, when
that
happens.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you.
I've always got a wading jacket on.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yeah, my mama didn't raise a fool.
That's a good thing about Mother's Day. I can look back and go, well, she tried to do something right with me.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, you better know it. Yeah, we learned. They taught us something, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Today's Mother's Day.
Yeah, my mother's been gone now, I don't know what, 28 years? Doesn't seem like that long, but
yeah,
she was a fishing machine.
Mine passed in 89. Yeah. Yeah, she was a flounder catching machine. She could catch those flounder, man. You know, women have that knack. Boy, they can catch those flounder. She loved catching them.
Women make really good anglers. You know, the ones that are into it. You know, it's typical. You know, for a woman, they set their mind to something, they're gonna do it.
Oh, yeah.
Those you know, whether it's golf, fishing, you know, whatever. They're going to be good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Patience.
Yeah.
And persistence.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, we used to take them out and I'd anchor up. And I'd get out of the boat, I'd anchor her up, and she'd fish a drain, you know, and mm-hmm. I'd set her up with some mud minnows, and I'd come back to the boat, and she'd be loaded up with flounder. and she'd have all the flounder that we needed. Or a couple of reds and a bunch of flounder. And my dad and I'd have trout, you know. She was good at it. I guarantee
I know
you.
It. Did the same thing with my mom. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they were good at it. We had a couple of honey holes there in Sabine Lake. Oh, we'd nail them. But anyway, yeah, my mother's been gone since 89. Yep, way back there. Back here when Lassie was a pup, you know. When Moby Dick was a minnow.
Moby Dick was a minnow. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did your mother pass?
I think it was 91, 92, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Yep. Takes you back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I've been thinking about all the fishing trips and stuff we did together. You know, it was cool having a mom that was real outdoorsy like that when you're a kid growing up. You know, her and my dad, they lived to run them trout, man. They love chasing trout. But my mom was big into freshwater, too. My dad wasn't much on freshwater. He liked bass fish, but she was real patient and liked crappie fishing and that, you know, that kind of stuff. Of course, she grew up there in Denton. They fished Lake Dallas a lot back in the day, her and her dad, my grandfather. Old John, his nickname was Yonk. I don't know how he got that name, but that was his name. Everybody called him Yonk. But,
Oh, yeah.
Besides the family, I was just ruined, you know. They were all fishermen. They loved to fish.
Oh, yeah.
Run them fish, yeah, man.
Speaking of Denton, it's funny. I went to Kilgore Junior College, and one of my roommates was from Denton. So he'd come down to Port Arthur and go duck hunting with me. Well, he invited me to go up to Denton and go duck hunting up there on Lake Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, yeah, something different. You know, they had a boat blind built up there on the lake. And you pull the boat right into the blind, you know. And so I went up there. I thought, well, this is something different, you know. So I get up there, and they pull the boat in the blind, big blind. And we pulled in airborne. It's just getting daylight. He and a couple of his buddies were with us. And just getting daylight, boy. And I said, here he comes. And I looked up, and here comes this one teal. And, boy, he just buzzing, you know, and he's out there about 75 yards, and he didn't come anywhere near the decoys, man. He came buzzing by us, you know, never slowed down, and they're going, shoot. I said, well, he's too far, and he just buzzed by us, and he went out of sight, and they went, well, there's the morning flight. You want to come back this afternoon and get him on the way back? and that was their duck hunt for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, man, they didn't have much shooting up there compared to us down here.
No, it's a whole different game down this way, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I took them down in Port Arthur. I was hunting the Sea Rim Marsh down there in Sabine Pass. And I'd take them down there, and, man, we were hammering the pintails and the widgeons and the geese, too. And I had a good blind out there in that marsh. And, oh, man, we had some good shooting. We really did.
Yes, sir. I'm ready for hunting season to come up again. I'm getting a hankering to, I mean, it's just over, but I'm ready for some more. I wish it lasted longer. But if it did, we wouldn't have nothing left to hunt.
That's right. I was sitting having dinner with a friend of mine and his wife trains labs. And she was telling this other girl that was there
how I used to go out with them, and she would train her lamb, and she would the ducks would come in, and she'd say, "Shoot that one right there. I want that one right there," and I'd pop it. Pop this pintail or a wigeon or whatever. She said, "Shoot that one," and I just shoot one duck, you know, and drop it, and then she'd send the dog after that one duck. She didn't want just shooting, you know, any duck.
Yeah.
She'd just say, "Shoot that one." You know?
Shoot that one.
And that's, you know, and I would. That's the way we were training her dogs, you know. And so she said that worked perfect. She said, "I brought a guy out there one time we were hunting, and he was just shooting any duck that came in. I didn't like that." She said, "I wanted to train my dog right." It was funny. But anyway,
right,
she's a good trainer, boy. She can train those labs, man.
Well, I got a roll, my friend. If somebody wants to call you about coming down to POC and popping a wade and catching some fish, how they get a hold of you, Lynn?
Yes, sir, man. They give me 361-935-6833.
All right, Lynn. Have a good Mother's Day Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week. You stay safe.
Yes, sir, man. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Take care, man. All right, that's Captain Lynn Smith in Port O'Connor. You know, McLean Trailers, they're the folks that have been serving our community since the 1950s. They're located right off of Interstate 10. They're between the Uvalde and Normandy exits right there on the North Feeder. They have a complete showroom full of parts and accessories and a lot full of utility, lowboy, gooseneck, and cargo trailers, not to mention their great boat trailers. You know, they build their fine trailers here in Houston. They have two plants in Louisiana, and I've trusted McLean's for over 40 years with their fine staff and product line. They're also a repair center for all of your trailer repair needs. You can check them out on the web at McLeanTrailers.com or call their shop at 713-675-2761. You can trust the name. It's been serving our community since the 1950s. That's McLean Trailers. Welcome back to Sports Radio 610. Mother's Day Sunday. Let's go down to G-Town. Let's check in and see what old Cap blocked up here this morning. James, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, just hanging out.
Still jamming there for a minute.
That's it. Let's rock and roll. Let's go. I'm ready.
Man. A little breezy down here this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little breezy. You know, what happened to those Tom Mays we used to get? I was thinking, you know, it being Mother's Day and all that, and this time of year, man, we used to get some of them calm days, and boy, we'd just waylay some huge trout over them deep reefs in East Bay and Trinity Bay. Man, oh, man.
I don't know, buddy. I don't get like that too much. It got decent. What was it? Friday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, I guess Friday morning.
Tuesday this week decent. I didn't have a trip, you know. I got blown out, you know, Monday and then Wednesday and then, oh, boy, you know.
Yeah, my guys got hung up out of town. That was the best
one,
day of them.
Your one guy got hung up in Mexico, couldn't make it or something. I remember that.
Yeah. But it was man, it was good fishing, good weather. It was nice Friday morning for a little while, but the fishing wasn't no good.
Yeah.
And then it got windy. What's it supposed to do Monday? It's supposed to get right this week?
Man.
That's bad. That's not a good answer.
Well, I don't know what to say.
That's bad.
Yeah, it is. It's always. It's supposed to drop. The forecast said 10 to 15 this morning for tomorrow. It's going to blow tonight, and then it's going to go kind of like 10 to 15 tomorrow, and then east on Tuesday, and then we got that front on Wednesday with a 70% chance of rain. Looks like rain with Tuesday and Wednesday, 60 and 70%. That's only a forecast. They've been missing it on the rain except for that last event. You couldn't miss it on that one. That was a big low pressure. Should have had a name with it. But, yeah, then we return to the southeast. 10 to 20, 15 to 25, all the way through the end of the week into next week. Here we go.
Oh, well. It's still springtime, man.
I remember this time of year, too, I'd slip off out there at the ship channel. We'd have in multiple boat deals, and I'd go run and get away from everybody and make a loop out there and go, geez, look at all these fish.
Yeah, if it would get calm, boy, that was, you know, that was something that a lot of people didn't do when you were going out there. You roll out there on that channel this time of year. It was calm.
Yeah.
It was, I wonder what happened to all them fish on the channel. I guess when they dredged it, it never was.
All that habitat changed out there, you know, all that dredging, and it just, it changed things. It's been like a dead zone for a long time now. It's just aggravating to know what you used to have and you don't have it anymore.
No, them old bait guys go out there like A1 and A2, and they'll sit out there and catch some fish.
But that's about the only place anymore. You know, it's right there around the separator, and used to, it'd be for miles up and down that channel, just solid fish for miles and miles, school after school.
Well, if you hit them slicks out there now, you better hang on, because every gaff top on the planet's just to eat everything you own.
It's definitely a gaff top haven out there now. They love that old mud sucking, old silt.
They do. But you know, and I like to fish out there a lot too. But you know, dadgum, when the water finally clears up, the tide starts dropping out, and that silt will fall out, and it'll get right, and you may have just a little bit of wind, and the next time you turn around, it's smoking going out. Getting dirty again. Don't stay very clear, man.
No.
So I don't know. It's I think fishing's good, though. I ain't got no place. I don't
know. Well, y'all got the best game in town down your way. I mean, have for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It's been, it's been a thorn in my side, because it's the construction between me and you just makes it not worth the effort to, you know, pull a boat down there and back every day. That's just nasty.
It's tough, man. Especially
I don't even like to come down here and play golf with y'all.
Man, you know, we left the other day, and we left LaPorte. I was all set up for like a 2-hour set in the traffic and got lucky. And I thought, yeah, I left from down here Friday. I said, hey, dude, how was your traffic? And he said, man, it was nothing. He said,
we hit it just
breezed
right.
On. But if you hit it wrong, which is more often than not, it's not friendly. It's bad.
Well, with that Fred Hartman Bridge incident deal we had, I had to take I-10. I went down to the Beltway, jumped over to 225, and come up that way. It took me about 1 hour and 20 minutes to get to the golf course to meet you that morning, and then took me 20 minutes to get home.
That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah,
I called you to tell you my traffic was not no problem, and you were already home.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play today, but I'm going the other way. I'm going where there ain't no traffic.
Going the other way.
So
that's what you're going to do for Mother's Day is play a little golf?
That's what I'm going to do. I don't know what anybody else is going to do, what I'm doing.
Carol's going to run you off.
She's been trying to run me off for 40 years. I don't know, she can't run me too far. She's kind of got it made. Now, actually, believe this or not, she's going with me.
Oh, really? Well, that's cool.
She's going to ride in the cart. She likes to. She played with me. She didn't play. She drives in no cart. When we had the evac, whatever storm we had, I went to Lock it there and played golf. And she drove the cart around.
So well, tell her to take her, get her a bag of unshelled peanuts, and she can hand feed them squirrels like I was doing the other day at that guy. Remember those squirrels that came up? Remember that one that followed the cart for like 3 holes, and then when we'd stop, he'd sit on his hind legs begging? Remember I opened those crackers up out of my bag? I had some peanut butter crackers in there, and I opened it. I didn't know squirrels would love them. They went crazy over them crackers.
Oh, man, he was so happy. And then you gave his buddy one, but you gave it to him. Oh, and then the next hole, I remember I hollered at you, hey, man, there's squirrels in the cart. Remember, he got the
cart. That was at par 3. That one was going to get up in my lap. I'm going, man, these squirrels, you can tell somebody's been feeding these squirrels out here.
He wanted to find the rest of them crackers. What
that was on that par 3.
Yeah, I said, hey, man, there's squirrels up in here, man. But we're going to play out there at Lake Jackson today.
Oh, what's the name of that course?
Wilderness.
Yeah, I need to come play that with you. You tell me how you liked it. It's a nice course.
It's nice, man. It's hard. It's fun. I like it out there. Last year I went fishing and I found a school of fish that I think I camped out on for like 6 weeks. And I just went by myself and said, man, let me go check something. And it was one of them deals with a crew you probably never would have found them. I think I had a couple bites and didn't catch nothing, but it looked good. I didn't catch nothing forever, a couple of hours, took a break. I said, man, let me go back through there. And, man, I had a bite, and I stopped, and I caught one. Nice trout, about 4 pounds. Well, there's something here. And I stood there, like, for days, but I ended up catching, I think I caught 10. I said, man, there's some fish here. I ain't got my timing down right, but there's some fish here. We rolled back in there the next morning, and it was Katie bar the door.
Man.
I beat on them for a while. So, but there's, you know, Mickey, the tides aren't very good. You know,
they're kind of off right now.
They've been low. Even when it gets high, it's low. So I'm looking at all these barnacles on the house here. And that's why a lot of the water, it's getting kind of messed up. Well, number one, it's warm. Number two, the tide's been low.
Yeah.
This bay Friday, when that east wind come up about noontime, this bay got ripped up, dude. Tide was low, and that current was running. Yeah, it got nasty. Got up.
Got to roll it up.
For sure.
Plus, the water's above 75 degrees now, and you got all the phytoplankton and everything else in it, and it gets dirty real easy with these high winds.
It don't take no time. No, you know, that's like sometimes this time of year, you know, it blows 15, 16. So, guys, hey, man, look, it's going to it'll be too good. Well, man, we went in November, and it was blowing like 20, and we crushed them. I said, hey, there's a big difference between November and December.
You got
in
that
in May
right.
And June when it's blowing. It's a different ball game.
Whole different animal, really, as far as water clarity. Did you ever hear anything when it got calm this week, you know, Monday and Tuesday? I figured Tuesday somebody would have hammered them in the surf.
It never got right to the beach, Mickey, because I'm driving back and forth down here where I'm fishing. But I tell you what I did see, and I forgot to tell you this. And it was in the dirty water. Now, it was rough now. When I say rough, it ain't waiting for it, you know, 2 foot. But you didn't want to be out there waiting. But the green water was right there, and there was a big school of birds working. Banging, you know, this was.
No head knocking, like, it was real deal, yeah.
No, it was a school of birds, and they were in the right depth in the dirty water. But one day it got really green Thursday. I mean, it got ripe. But the green water, it wouldn't – you couldn't reach it.
Yeah, you wouldn't reach it.
Yeah. But, man, all you got to have is wind laying down. Well, that day it did lay down just a little bit. The next tide change, it was going to be on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's probably – it's probably dirty now. Probably nasty. But, you know, those fish that these dudes are catching, man, on them jetties, and the fish are somewhere around that surf. They didn't drop in from outer space.
No, they didn't.
They're out there. This is a good time. I talked to a guy that fished with me, Mickey, you know, his brother-in-law. And it might have been Tuesday. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. He was just fishing fishing for anything. On the 91st Street pier, he caught one that weighed $8.65.
That's a good one.
Yeah, not just fishing on the pier, cut bait. I don't know what he was using, some kind of bait. Anyway, right. So, you know, there you go.
Well, all we need is weather.
Weather's everything, brother. You know that.
It is.
Weather's, you know, just like, but you never know, just like catching all them fish Thursday. I mean, it was nasty, bro. Nasty. And I'm like, man, this is pretty good fishing. I figured Friday morning when it was calm, I said, well, man, I'd be hitting golf ball about 10 o'clock. Man, about 10 o'clock, I got like 2 trout. And I said, well, then went to golf ball. I mean, I just got to worry about trying to catch something. It was, and nobody, I mean, everybody had, you know, 4 to 9 trout. You know, we caught them redfish. The only thing saved us. I mean, Penner finally caught some fish.
I think about this time of year, and I always think about time we finally got flushed off the east shoreline in 83, when that fresh water just totally overwhelmed us and pushed all them fish out of there. And Gene Campbell and I and Blaine Friermuth went around the corner to East Bay, little hunt and peck trip, and buddy, we hit the mother load. That's the best catch I ever had out of a boat. We started off waiting. That was a once in a lifetime deal. We
just run into a
stack up of fish that turned that corner and piled up on one reef. And when we got there, I'm not lying when I said when we pulled up, there was over 100 platter-sized slicks on that reef. And Blaine just took that little 18 Hydra Sport he had and just pulled up in the middle of them and chunked anchor out like a pot licker.
Man, we were throwing spoons and all that.
Three-quarter ounce Johnson Sprite gold spoons, and you couldn't get one back without a giant fish on it.
Man, how many big trout did y'all catch that day? I got a picture of Blaine not too long after that, that I don't know what that stringer weighed. But I mean, it's 60. You got the picture here somewhere.
Yeah, he had Joe Berghauer in them that day. I remember that day. And Bob Brisher ran that in a Houston Chronicle. That was a hell of a photo of fish. But that day, he and I and Gene hit them. It was about this time. It was early May, you know, 9th or 10th, somewhere in there. And we had 3 over 9. Now, these are legit. They were all certified scales. We took them to Jerry Crawley and let him weigh them. And we had 27 over 8. I think our smallest fish was a 6'12".
Is that sick or what?
That's just plumb sick. And left them biting. And that's when the limit was you could have 20 trout apiece. We had 60 trout and 30 reds.
Man, how about them big old reds that we get right there with them?
Oh, man, that's crazy. Catching bull reds on spoons, and it was nasty.
That's legit schools of big trout, dude, and they're just –
trout used to run in schools. That's the way it was. You had schools of twos and threes and schools of fours and fives, sixes and sevens, and then you had in big old schools of eights and nines. There'd be hundreds of trout in one school that big come through you. It's crazy.
Man, remember one day me and you were fishing, you had your Hydra Sport, and this is how I learned how to do that day. And them big drum were swimming around out there in the middle of nowhere. We were watching. See them big trout. Not all throw there. Look at all them big trout in front of them drum. They'd be in front of them. But there was, you just pick out what you wanted. And Cameron and I did that in a tournament. One of your tournaments that was actually lucky enough to win. And I told him, I said, hey, dude, don't cast. Wait. Watch him drum. And then you look over there and say, okay, now throw it that one. It's really sight casting.
Yeah,
out of the boat, but the water would get clear. I think, and you and I have talked about this a million times, and I ain't no doom or gloom, it just is what it is. I'm telling you, when they did that deal on that ship channel, I don't care about anything else. It changed everything in this bay.
It was a game
all
changer.
All this stuff you and I are talking about is all pre-channel dredging, right? Yeah,
it is. Pre-ike, pre-drought, pre-floods. I mean, it just, it was a game changer.
But, you know, we had floods, Mickey, just like in 83. And all, you know, the fish just, they moved, they did. Now you get a flood, and it just, I don't know. It's just, there's something about that ship channel, man. It just made it different.
Well, when they pumped all that spoil and all them retainment levees and islands out there, and when Ike came, they might as well have just dumped it in the bay because that's where it ended up anyway.
That's where it all went, brother. That's where it all went.
And it changed everything.
I guess when the Corps did that, I mean, those guys are smart people. I mean, you have to realize that, man, someday there might be a storm that's going to top all these levees.
Well, and bad about it, it happened right in the middle of that project, and it
It was fresh. None of it
nasty
settled.
Spoil, right. Yeah, and put it everywhere. It for covered sure. up reefs that'll never be there again.
Just, you know, our end of water will get real clear here. I mean, Clearwater and Galveston Bay really clear. I mean, it just remember how the lower channel when that summertime would come here in the Gulf water would come in.
It dropped
gorgeous, and that's like it don't even make it in the bay.
Well, those days of wading Trinity Bay in chest deep water and seeing your feet and reading a newspaper on the bottom, they're gone. I mean,
we talked about that yesterday. Remember, the harder it would blow, it'd be blowing 30. There'd be a strip of green water, and you walk out there, literally, if you went over your head, you could still see your feet.
Yep.
And everything
you'd get that clear strip, and you'd wade and throw into it, and you couldn't get a lure back out of it without a fish. Crazy.
No, if you couldn't burn an 801 mirror back through there and get it taken away, you need more line or something was wrong with you.
Yeah, something was dead wrong. Well, here we are in the new millennium.
Hey, make the best of it, brother. We do.
Hey,
is it bad? It ain't like it was. It's just damn sure different.
It really is.
Yeah. And you don't adapt. And adapting's been hard for me. I do stuff that me and you would have never done, Mm-hmm. Just get out on nothing and fish and just have to fish that way. I mean, we didn't see 15 or 20 snakes. This ain't no good. We ain't stopping.
No,
here.
I wouldn't even stop if I didn't see 15, 20, or 30 of them anyway. But
mm-hmm.
All right, James. Well, you have a great Mother's Day. Enjoy your outing with your wife, and I will talk to you on the flip side. Throw out a number if somebody wants to call you and bug you.
All right, buddy. 409-771-7306, Dale Road, a happy Mother's Day.
We're going to do it, buddy. See you, man.
All right, bro.
Take care.
Holla at you.
All right. Top of the hour coming up. National Anthem, all the good stuff here on Mother's Day at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.